through a storm. Hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of the Lord. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. Walk on, walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone.
Good morning. My name is Kathleen Rowe, and I'm the Deacon of the Month for August, and I'll be reading the scripture today. The scripture is from Amos chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. You can read it on the screen behind me, or you can look in the Pew Bible on page 839. Amos 5, 18 through 24. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into a house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. May God give us understanding of this His holy word.
Last Thursday, my wife Linda left for Wyoming. She flew to El Paso, where our daughter Amy picked her up at the airport. They drove through New Mexico and then on to Colorado. And last night, they stayed at the home of our friend Karen Israel in Fort Collins, Colorado. Today, at this moment, they drive to Wyoming, where they will camp out tonight. It's quite an adventure because Linda and Amy are not campers. I doubt that either one of them has ever spent a single night sleeping in a tent on the ground. So I will be anxious to hear how it all turns out. The reason for their camp out in Wyoming is the total solar eclipse tomorrow. they travel to Wyoming because it is supposed to be one of the best places to view the total eclipse. They are camping out tonight because all the hotel rooms are booked and because even modest motels are charging exorbitant prices. For example, Linda called a Motel 6 in Wyoming, and they are charging $1,000 for tonight. Not willing to pay a grand for a room at a Motel 6, Linda found a campground in Wyoming that is charging $90 for a camp space. She and Amy will provide their own tent and sleeping bags. And if the weather is not ideal, or if they hear the rustle of wild animals, they will probably sleep tonight in the car. In any case, they will be right in the path of the solar eclipse when it passes by tomorrow morning. Well, the solar eclipse is a big deal, because one has not passed over the entire United States in almost a century. As you know, a solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between the sun and the earth, blocking the sun's rays. It will happen in a hurry. Just 70 miles wide, the total solar eclipse will zoom across the United States. The longest anyone will see it directly overhead is 2 minutes and 40 seconds. That will be in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Most people in the path of the total eclipse will see it for just a minute or two. Although a partial eclipse will be visible in most of the country, only that narrow band across the country from Oregon to South Carolina will have a total eclipse. If the weather cooperates, tomorrow we will see 81% of the solar eclipse in this area. And the best time will be, I'm told, at 2:42 p.m., although you'll be able to see it a little before and a little bit after that. It was not cloudy for about 3 hours tomorrow. We will see a light shadow of the moon covering part of the sun. NASA scientist Matthew Kirk says it will be a bit darker, but not much more than a cloud passing over the sun. We also may experience a slight drop in temperature tomorrow during the partial eclipse. The sun will appear like a cookie with an expanding piece bitten out of it. But as Dave reminded us, don't stare directly at it without eclipse glasses. Even during a partial eclipse, it will damage the eyes without protection. Well, a lot of places across the country are having special events related to the solar eclipse. For example, in Oregon, a minor league baseball team called the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes is hosting an eclipse fest with local beer, wine, food, and kids' activities. And the baseball game tomorrow morning will include a built-in eclipse delay when they stop the game while the eclipse takes place. In Idaho, near the rim of an extinct volcano, Crater Adventures will offer a 360-degree locale for viewing the eclipse. Parking fees start at $20. In Wyoming, the Wind River Hotel and Casino is hosting the Arapaho Eclipse Celebration with Arapaho music, dance, and storytelling. In Nebraska, an outdoor worship service will be held in Tryon with wagon rides, a cowboys skills competition, and a post-eclipse barbecue. In Kansas, astronomers from the Vatican Observatory are presenting programs at Benedictine College about the eclipse. In Missouri, the parking lot of the East Hills Shopping Center in St. Joseph will host a viewing party. Parking spaces can be reserved for $25. In Illinois, the Black Diamond Harley-Davidson is hosting a motorcycle-only eclipse viewing party in Marion. In Kentucky, the Lakes National Recreation Area is hosting at its Golden Pond Planetarium an eclipse viewing party, and there'll be a picnic at the Home Place 1850s Working Farm. In Tennessee, there's an all-day eclipse event at the Volunteer State Community College in Gallatin. In North Carolina, Franklin is hosting a total eclipse block party with free RC colas and moon pies for the first 100 attendees. Finally, in Columbia, South Carolina, events will include a 5K eclipse run and a giant viewing tailgate event. Now, if any of those activities strike your fancy, you better head out after worship today in order to be there. Now, you might be interested to know that there are a number of passages in the Bible about a solar eclipse and about other astrophenomena involving the moon and the stars. In our scripture for this morning from the book of Amos, the prophet talked about an event that he called the Day of the Lord. And like the events across the country tomorrow, the Day of the Lord features darkness, not light. But unlike those happy events that will take place across the country tomorrow, the Day of the Lord, according to Amos, will be filled with gloom. The Day of the Lord was an idea that actually preceded the prophet Amos. The idea was that God would intervene in history on the Day of the Lord. The Jews believed that God's intervention would bring judgment on evil people. They believed that God would punish their enemies and deliver them on the Day of the Lord. But Amos had a different understanding of the Day of the Lord. Amos said it would be bad news for everybody. Amos denounced the Jews as well as the surrounding nations for their injustice, immorality, and superficial piety. For Amos, the Day of the Lord would bring judgment on all people, including judgment on the Jews. Now, the New Testament writers took that idea of the Day of the Lord and gave it a little twist. That new twist was eschatological. Eschatology means the last things. New Testament writers also believed that God would intervene in history. Of course, God had already intervened in history by sending his son Jesus to save us from our sins. That was the beginning of God's intervention. The twist in the New Testament is that the Day of the Lord will be fulfilled by the return of Jesus. There'll be signs in the heaven and wonders on earth. On that ultimate Day of the Lord, Jesus will return, the dead will be raised, people will be judged, Satan, sin, and death will be destroyed, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and this final Day of the Lord is described in eschatological passages in the Gospels, in the letters of Paul, and especially in the book of Revelation. Now, I have selected some verses from the Old Testament and the New Testament that describe this intervention of God in human history. Note that all the passages that I'm going to read in just a few moments describe some kind of solar eclipse when the sun becomes dark and other celestial phenomena. Not all the passages describe the return of Jesus, since the Old Testament was written before Jesus came, but all the passages expect God to intervene. Now, I'm not suggesting that the solar eclipse tomorrow is the fulfillment of these biblical prophecies. After all, solar eclipses happen every so often. There is a total solar eclipse about every 18 months, and there'll be another one in the U.S. in the year 2024. The novelty for tomorrow is that the eclipse will be total in a narrow band across the United States. And maybe our experience with the eclipse will remind us about the Day of the Lord. Let me read these passages from various books of the Bible. Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. Ezekiel 32:7. When I blot you out, I will cover the heavens and make the stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not give its light. Joel chapter 2, which is quoted in Acts chapter 2 in a sermon of Peter. Joel says, "The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice at the head of the army. How vast is his host! Numberless are those who obey his command. Truly, the day of the Lord is great, terrible indeed. Who can endure it? The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." Zephaniah 1:15 reads, "That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness." And then in the New Testament, Matthew 24:29, "Immediately after the suffering of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. The powers of heaven will be shaken." And Mark, in a parallel passage, Mark 13 says, "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light." And then in Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 8, "When he opened the sixth seal, I looked and there came a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light was darkened. A third of the day was kept from shining, and likewise the night." And then finally in Amos chapter 5, "Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord, why do you say, 'We want the day of the Lord'? It is darkness, not light. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it?" Well, all of these passages I've read from Old Testament and New Testament sound ominous and foreboding. Yet we who believe in Jesus and who seek to follow Jesus have nothing to fear. Yes, Jesus will return on the day of the Lord to judge the living and the dead. Yes, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, corruption and injustice are an affront to the righteousness of God. Yes, we are powerless to save ourselves. But as John wrote in his gospel, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world to him might be saved. Now, that doesn't mean that we are given a free pass to live however we want to. Jesus showed us how God wants us to live. As Amos said, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an overflowing stream." But we who follow Jesus, we live in grace and freedom, not in judgment and fear. When we follow Jesus, we live in justice and righteousness. When we follow Jesus, we do what we can to make things right. And we trust in God to intervene at the end of time to make things right. You might remember there was another solar eclipse in the Bible. It happened when Jesus was crucified. Mark 15:33-34 says, "When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" In that experience of great suffering, Jesus prayed from the cross a prayer to God. And the prayer he prayed was from Psalm 22, which begins, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As Jesus prayed that prayer at 3:00 in the afternoon, the darkness broke and the eclipse was over. The return of light was a sign that God had not forsaken Jesus and that God will not forsake any who place their faith in him. So tomorrow, if we are lucky, we will be able to see a partial eclipse of the sun. For us, darkness will cover the land. It will not be total darkness, as it will be in the narrow path of the total eclipse in other parts of the country, but we will be able to experience a little of the darkness. Hopefully, we'll hear reports from those who traveled to other places about their experience with the total eclipse. The darkness will come, but the darkness will not last. In the prologue to his gospel, John wrote, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." The light that shines in the darkness is the sun, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. Maybe you will experience some of that darkness tomorrow. Or maybe you're feeling some darkness in your life right now. Don't be afraid. We live by faith, not by sight. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Our Father, that experience of darkness that Jesus felt when he was on the cross is a parable of the darkness that comes in every life from time to time. The darkness that Jesus experienced on the cross caused him to pray, my God, why have you forsaken me? They pray that prayer of faith from Psalm 22. And yet as Jesus prayed that prayer, the light broke. The darkness ended as a sign that you had not forsaken Jesus and that you will not forsake any who place their faith in you. Sometimes it feels like we're in the darkness. While tomorrow the darkness will come and go, for some of us it seems like the darkness endures. And yet we who believe in Jesus believe in him who was life, and his life was the light of all people. Help us to keep our eyes focused on him. Help us to believe in him. Help us to know that however dark life may seem to be, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and it's a hymn you don't know. So we're going to learn it, and then we're going to sing it. It's hymn number 155, and I selected it because of the obvious message about the Lord being our light. You know, the light of God shines into every life, but we have to receive his life through faith as we accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord. If you've never made that public profession of faith in Christ and followed him as a believer in baptism, we offer you that opportunity to do that today. Or maybe you've been a Christian for some time, the light is God has been shining in your life, but you're not a part of our church family. We'd invite you to unite with us, and the invitation will be to come as we sing, but first we're going to learn the song, and then we'll sing it together.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest that you stay seated while we do the same thing we did a couple of weeks ago. We're going to do call and response. I'm going to sing the first two lines. I'm going to have you sing the first two lines, and we'll do it with you twice, the first two lines. Then I'll sing the second two lines. And then we'll sing that through twice. At that point, we'll all stand. We'll get the normal introduction from the organ, and we'll sing the song through two times. And that way, it'll get set in your head. So, if you give me a clue as to what it is.